This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed. What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Well, we just got done speaking with Joe DeVito in studio. It's always great to have him in here. He is a writer, a comedian, and he is a regular on Gutfeld, which you probably have seen him many times if you watch that show. We certainly do. He's at the Funny Bone Streets of St. Charles tonight at 7:30 and 9:30. Tomorrow, 6 and 8:30 in the evening. This is a wonderful time. You're going to have a great time. If your evening is free, go grab a bite to eat on the streets of St. Charles, and then pop over to the Funny Bone and just laugh and enjoy yourself. Grab a couple friends and have a great night. It's stlewisfunnybone.com. Check out Joe DeVito there. I always love when he comes in. He's a easy guy to talk to, and it's fun to hear some of the Fox News connections, people who we feel like we spend a lot of time with. People listening to the show right now, you feel like you spend a lot of your time with us, probably. Well, we all feel the same way about Fox News folks, and so it's kind of fun to have that connection.
Really cool that it works out so well that he's usually here Friday, Saturday, so that we can have him in on a Friday, which is always a little more fun because we're joking around more.
Could you do a stand-up bit?
I've written enough that I could probably do it. I've never done anything longer than maybe a couple minutes, though.
Do you think you could make people laugh?
Yes. I think I could. I was looking back over my material a few weeks ago.
Why?
Because it had been a while since I looked at it, because I was like, oh, yeah, I wrote this a long time. I never used any of this. And it's written in a voice.
Do you ever try any of it out on here without us knowing?
I don't think so.
He wouldn't tell us if he did.
Yeah, you wouldn't know.
I think we'd be able to tell.
Yeah, because I'd start going, I know, Trump, right? And what's the deal with these peanuts? You'd be like, I think that's from your bit. I'm like, no, I just came up with that.
Did you come up with that by yourself?
Right. It's some weird stuff. It's surprise, surprise. It would be really bizarre material.
That's what I'm wondering. Like, you're very funny, but people have to understand you in order to understand the funny, which is honestly not really any different than most comedians.
No, you gotta bring
the vibe.
People into your thing. You have to have a presentation and a kind of a character. And then you bring people into that world. That's how you do it. I mean, that's for me, who's done maybe 2-3 minutes of stand-up.
So, you've actually stood up in front of people in a
sort of. I did it with a guy. I used to write with a guy.
This sounds like a Ryan Wigginism.
I've done weird stage stuff. I don't know that I've done Ryan
Elaborate
standing.
Elaborate on that one.
Weird stage stuff.
Go on.
Did it involve feather boas?
No, that's gross and old-timey. Nowadays, you just go down to Sajay and they're like, amateur night. And you're like, okay. And then you get up and do your bit. It's not gross. You guys are looking at me like I'm doing naked stuff. Come on now.
Gosh, get Joe back in here. Do it now.
So, to answer your long, my long and winding answer to your question is sort of.
Brad, could you do stand up?
People laugh at me all the time, and I don't think that
I don't know if that's
I don't know if that's what we're
equating.
Aiming for here.
Could you do it?
I would try it. I don't know that I could write jokes that would be funny, but I would try it.
How do you...
Could you?
I don't know.
You've done tons of stage work, though.
Yeah, I know how to... Yeah. Elaborate on that one.
I can't. There's nothing funny about it.
There's no NDA here.
You get up there and you just start talking. And people are like, wow.
YouTube live chat poll for today is who would have been the best flirt? You know why that's today's poll? Because I couldn't come up with anything and it was 11:59.
Yes, it was.
And that is the truth.
I think it might have been past noon, actually. I don't think it was 11:59.
I was in a hurry. We're going to do next question. You can ask us anything in the Annie Fry YouTube live chat on the YouTube channel. Brad and Ethan, make sure you're setting aside any of those questions that we get as they come through. Beautiful day outside today. There's a Middle East trip coming up for the president. So that's something that I'm kind of like side-eyeing right now. It's not here yet. What's he going to go there and accomplish? What's he going to come back with? Is he going to come back with trade deals? Is he going to come back with peace deals? Is he going to come back with nothing? I don't know. That's coming up. The new Pope. I am so strongly resisting the urge to profile the political angle of this Pope, because I don't really think. I think that if we can really parse the new Pope on his politics, then he's not poping correctly. I'm not a Catholic, so I don't know that my opinion on it even matters. But what I would really like is for somebody who is the leader of what the largest Christian church there is, right? Is there a larger Christian church than the Catholic Church? That for them to be very Christ-centered and above the fray when it comes to politics. Don't you think that for some in the time that we're living like now, people talk a lot about how religion is, there's a little bit of a renaissance going on right now. People are seeking out spirituality, potentially religion, potentially Christian religion. I mean, you could obviously argue that the pull there is like the Holy Spirit. But also, we have kicked down every single boundary that exists and, you know, defiled every boundary that exists in our understood culture. That's become the new culture. And I feel as though people are not nearly as comfortable in that sense of living, and we're not seeing the production as a society out of this newfound boundaryless way of living our lives in a civilized community and society. The people are wanting to put up boundaries, not for other people, but for themselves as a definitive way to go about living their lives. Does that make sense?
Well, let me ask you a question to clarify. Are you saying that you think people are receptive to Christ or the Holy Spirit?
Well, I don't know that it's even... I don't even know that it...
You're talking about social
change. I think it's bigger and broader than religion. Now, as a Christian, I would probably be inclined to say that it's all driven by religion, but that's my faith belief. So I'm trying to have a bigger conversation than that. But I feel very much so that the push against traditional norms... That really, you know, I was born in 84. My entire life has been about pushing down and redrawing the boundary lines. Maybe that's always everything. Maybe every decade is like that, pushing down the boundary lines and trying to redraw what is socially acceptable, culturally acceptable. But, I mean, we've gone so far. This is slippery slope stuff. We've gone so far that we don't even identify two genders anymore, which is absurd. It's absolutely absurd. We have people advocating for the entire system of girls' sports, which in my lifetime, there was an incredible effort to protect girls who wanted to play sports and also make sure that girls were offered the opportunity to participate in sports, that all the dollars and cents weren't always going to go to the boys. There was a huge effort at the beginning part of my life to make sure that girls' sports were protected. And now, all of that has been willfully thrown out the window to protect the 1% of us who identify as female, but we're males. And everybody has to move and change their life in order to accommodate those people. That's just absurd. You can, like, there are things that we can say, and people are starting to push back now to be like, that is absurd. You know, we wouldn't say that because the boundaries of everything were intentionally blurred and then they were disappeared so that you couldn't, you can't run to your corner because there are no corners anymore. You're just going to be isolated, standing out in the open and being pointed at as a bigot or a racist or a sexist or a phobe of some kind, whatever. And I feel like, I think religion is the main catalyst for it, but I feel like we are living in a time right now where people are wanting and craving boundaries that we collectively agree upon. So, and again, like I'll reiterate what I said before, like I want boundaries for my family. I want my family to agree upon the boundaries that we are going to live our life in. For my family, it's my Lutheran faith that interprets the Bible. So it's scripture that says it's this easy 10 commandments, you know, and then the love thy neighbor, you know, the idea that is set in scripture is my moral compass. But I don't think that you can, for the most part, the 10 commandments, at least 7 of them, you could look at and not necessarily have to have a biblical compass to be like, you should listen to your parents. You should not lie to people. You should not murder people. You shouldn't sleep with your neighbor's wife. Mine comes from scripture. I think you could abide by those to your best abilities without having a scripture compass. But I think that people want it. I think that people are actually craving and a collectively understood sense of boundaries. There are going to be exceptions, but you want to know that the exceptions are the exceptions.
We're created to need boundaries. And the more we cast them off, it's always hypocritical to cast off boundaries because then you're just creating new ones. Even if you talk to somebody who's completely anarchist, you know, they believe in no law, no morality, they would say, well, you can't say anything is wrong. But in saying that, you're saying something's wrong.
Right, like, you're setting it, yeah.
Yeah, so you can't really ever get there. And you're right, Annie, we're in now a generation that has been told over and over, you know what, nobody really cares about you because nobody actually cares enough to tell you what's right and wrong. And they crave it. You go, oh my gosh, you're right. I need to know the difference between right and wrong. And so they kind of make it up. And they make it up based on their feelings, and they realize
it's insatiable.
After a few years, it just doesn't go anywhere.
Well, it's also interesting that you bring that up, that people crave boundaries, because the other thing the boundaries do is you know, you think about boundaries as walls. Walls keep bad things out as much as they keep you confined. It's more of a safety thing. And I'll use this as an example. You would look at murder and say, we shouldn't have to tell people that murder is wrong. But we do have to tell people murder is wrong. We do have to set those boundaries out there because there are people out there that exist who will take another person's life and not even think twice about it. There are other areas. If you look through society and how we've expanded or changed these boundaries, you open loopholes for bad people to come in and do bad things. And you're doing it. Maybe your heart's in the right place whenever you push some of these boundaries out. You're like, we don't want to exclude these people. We don't want to do that. But you're opening up a dangerous situation. And that's why I think that people do crave boundaries, because there is a sense of safety and security that comes with it as well.
I think morality is often confused with faith and religion. And, you know, even the word religion in and of itself is complicated, because a lot of people how many people have you ever heard be like, I have faith, but I don't believe in organized religion. And that always makes me, that doesn't make me mad at those people. It makes me sad for those people. And I liken it to, you know, if you're somebody who has put off going to church or to worship, a lot of times the pushback against that is this kind of recoil that people have towards the thought of organized religion. Like, I don't need to be told when and where to worship my God and stuff like that. And I think it's important to understand that, at least the way I view my faith and worship, is I don't view it as an obligation. If when my husband and I get to spend time together, we love each other. And when my husband and I get to spend time, we choose to do that. We choose to do that as much as we possibly can. We don't always get to do that because we have other things going on in our lives, but we choose to spend time with one another because we love one another. If I felt like, oh, gosh, it's Thursday night, I got to see Jared again. I got to do it. Otherwise, I'm going to be a bad wife. That's not a marriage. That's not a relationship. That's an obligation. That's a chore. That's a job. And I can understand why, if that's the way you felt about your relationship with God, that it would not be something that you would want to do. But you can't have a healthy relationship if you're not wanting to participate in it. And it can look different for different people. I understand that. Worship looks different for different people. But the idea of coming together and being in worship with people who believe the same thing that you believe is a powerful thing. And it's an encouraging thing. And, you know, I hope that this somewhat resurgence of interest in faith, interest in church, maybe it's the Catholic Church, maybe that the new Pope has brought some sort of encouragement for you. Not Catholic. That's not my experience personally. But if there is something that ends up making you curious about going back to church, stop it with the things that have held you back. Like, just ask yourself this. What would want you to not go to church? And why would said thing not want you to go to church? What would want to hold you back from the experience of the next time you walk in, sit down in the back of the pew of the church there, and just take in a church service? What would want to keep you out of that? What entity would want to make you think all of the negative thoughts about what happens inside that church building? And then maybe choose to test that and go. I love hearing about the interest in religion that is taking place. And this week with the Pope being chosen, I think a lot of people are paying attention to the Catholic Church. But for the non-denominational Southern Baptist Lutherans in the room, we'll just broaden it.
I was really encouraged to see yesterday, watching all of the conclave and all that. It was, what, 85, 90% people under the age of 30?
A lot of young people.
Yeah. Celebrating there. That was neat. That was neat to watch.
When we come back, we're going to do next question. Your thoughts, your questions that you'd like to know from us. You can throw them in the Annie Fry YouTube chat. Let me check here. We are so close to 12,000. Where is my number here? I'll have to tell you when we come back, because we are very close. We are 11,919. So we need 81 people to come subscribe to the Annie Fry YouTube channel and push us over that 12,000 mark. Maybe you could be a part of making that a success for us. We would love you if you did. We love all of you who already have over 11,000 people who have already joined us on the YouTube channel. Maybe you should as well. Once you subscribe, 5 minutes later, you are a part of the YouTube chat. So get in there and throw your question in, vote in the poll. We'll be right back.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Next question.
Question.
It's a legitimate question.
Next question.
Next question, please.
Next question on the Annie Fry Show.
All right. It's an Ask Me Anything moment here on the Annie Fry Show. We'll wrap up this hour if we have enough questions to answer your questions. We're going to start with Brad. We'll go to Ryan, and then I'll pull from the audience here on the YouTube chat. Brad, your very in-depth and specific question.
All right. So.
All right. Let's say you're in the woods.
It's 72 degrees.
Yeah, it's 72 degrees out. You get to pick one member of the Biden administration, and all the legal, like, conspiracy theories are confirmed and they go to prison. Who do you think it would be?
Whoa.
Or who would you get to pick?
Who do I get to send to prison from the Biden administration?
Yeah, you get to pick one person there.
Who do you pick?
I think I go with Hunter Biden.
Really?
Yeah. I think he goes to prison.
Ooh, man, that's tough.
I don't know if it counts, but can I say Adam Schiff?
Ooh, conspiracy theories abound, yeah.
I don't know if he's like part of the administration, but he certainly was an inside part of the hoax.
I'm going to say whoever it was that was using that auto pen. I don't know who it was, but that's part of discovery would be finding yeah. that person, because that person was probably doing a lot more than just clicking an auto pen. They were probably running a lot of really shady stuff because they would have been in charge. Maybe that's Jill. You know, I don't know who that is.
No, it's an actual office in the White House.
Oh, is it?
And they have no... I talked to Will about this. They have no paper. The only paper that comes... Because Will's Mr. Paperman. Every document goes through Will Scharf in the White House. But the auto pen people are the only people who don't have any paper that originates from their office. So that way there's nothing that they can start but also auto pen and sign.
But they knew it was coming from an office.
I'm just saying that there is a pen. The auto pen exists in an office, and I don't remember what the office is called specifically, but there's like a specific, and it's kind of part, I say this, it's going to sound like I'm saying something bad, but like it's part of the bureaucracy. It doesn't change with the president, unless they would come in and I suppose fire them. But it's not staffed by the current administration specifically. I'm not saying that right, but you get the idea. Nope.
So that it would be the same person signing it now.
Yes. The same people who were there during the Biden administration are there now in the auto pen department.
So they could just go ask them.
They could probably ask details, yeah.
That guy.
That guy.
My question is a little bit of a thinker, so if you need a second to, I'll answer first.
Who are you talking to?
Both of you.
Okay.
It's not Christmas time, but has there ever been a present you were excited to give somebody that turned out to be a pretty crappy gift?
You go first.
I've got one.
What?
And it's not. It does not involve you at all. Everything I've given you, I'm very proud of.
I believe it.
But I gave...
I'm still drinking off the $30 Scooters gift card.
Are you?
Yeah.
How about that root beer?
I don't even know where it is. I'll be honest. It might be in the fridge downstairs.
Oh, good. I'll drink it next time I'm over. All right. The worst gift I've ever given was 2 years ago for Christmas. And I see it every day, which is why I'm reminded of it. My son, who was 5 at the time, wanted a shark that drove around called Mega Chomp. And he just could not stop talking about Mega Chomp. And so we got him Mega Chomp. He opened it. He was like, oh my gosh, this is the greatest gift ever. And then Mega Chomp just was a shark that drove around. And within about 3 or 4 minutes, he was so sad that it wasn't...
Did the commercial oversell it?
Oh, it had to be. Like, something he saw somewhere indicated that this thing was going to chew right through the couch and you were going to fall through it and stuff, you know? And none of that was even remotely true. And now, Mega Chomp sits right by our back door. And every day I walk by it and
just
I'm
throw
like...
Throw it
away. Poor old Mega Chomp. He won't let me throw it away. But he never plays with it.
I'll say that one Christmas, my oldest daughter's... kind of an old soul. She never really was like super into toys that were kind of age appropriate or whatever. She didn't really play with dolls. She played with she played basketball or volleyball or stuff like that.
Played with a portfolio.
And I mean, if I'd have given her one. And one Christmas, we gave her kind of like older things. And I could tell by the end that she didn't get anything fun. And I felt really bad about that. And then I think I was like, at the end, I was like, and your last gift is we're going to go let you pick out your favorite toy at the toy store. I don't know. She was probably like 8 or 9 at the time. She, you know, she likes clothes, stationery.
But she was 8. And you guys were like, I think I know her.
Well, and I mean, she liked all that stuff. But she basically had the Christmas of an adult. And I screwed that up. Brad?
Yeah, I keep going back and trying to think of this, and there are so many gifts in the past that I thought would be really good that turned out like in hindsight, and I haven't even gotten feedback on these, and I'm just like, I don't know if that was good or not. Sometimes it's whenever I get my wife a gift for like an anniversary or something like that, and it'll be something she's like, no, just get me this, and she's asking for like a vacuum cleaner, and you're like, I can't get you a vacuum cleaner, but
no,
like,
you just do it, man.
This is what I really want. So you get it for her, and she's like, oh, great.
Unless it's like your second date,
yeah,
and she says, give me a vacuum cleaner. If you've been married for a decade plus and she's like, I would like this vacuum cleaner, get her the freaking vacuum cleaner.
Second date vacuum cleaner is kind of weird.
Yeah.
That's my
Why
point.
Why are you asking me that?
You know what I could use is some household appliances here.
What are you trying to
I
say?
I can't remember your name, but.
Dropping hints. Yeah, so it would be something like that. I can't think of a specific incident, though.
Ender said, what is your that one time at college story? Do you have any?
Oh my gosh. Yes.
I pick one.
I narrow it down.
And no, I'm not.
Brad, do you have one? Go on.
All right.
Go on.
This is so stupid. But speaking of stage work, one time I went to an open mic night with a friend of mine. I'm going to say a word that's. Can I say it on the air? I won't. I'll say it and you'll know what it really was. It was an open mic night in Carbondale, and we went there, and it was a lot of college students trying out their material and stuff, doing 5 minutes. And so me and my friend went up there, and we said, check this out. I just walked up to the mic and said, check this out. And then we put a boombox up to the mic, played the Friends theme song, and I shaved his butt.
What?
And I'm just shaving my
Did
friend's
butt.
Did
people think it was funny?
Oh, yeah.
I don't have that story like that. I'm trying to think of a singular story that happened in college that it would be just above the,
oh, no.
That is so lame, Annie, line. That's... And I haven't thought of one of those. And now I can't. What am I
That's not what we said. I walked up to the mic and I said, we're straight. And then we did that.
Brad,
that bit.
You were the friend, weren't you?
No. No. My problem with this question is that I was like well into my 20s before I went to college. There was a big gap from whenever I graduated high school, I went to work, and then I went to college. And so I was older than everybody at college, and everybody kind of looked at me like a dad. And I didn't really do stupid things. I was usually the one to be like, don't do that. That's dumb. So I don't really have any good, like, I shaved my friend's butt at an open mic night stories.
We used, like,
Nobody has
cream
those stories, Brad. Those aren't real stories.
Yeah.
Real normal people.
I did
people.
Not put the shaving cream on, by the way.
Oh,
he did.
Details. By the way, my dad texted and said me and my friend, which you said, and I thought, but didn't correct you on. But since dad said it, and you guys are so tight, I thought you'd want to know that he says hi.
I don't want to know that. I was in the moment.
I know. So you could probably tell it's a real story. The only, like, good grief, I can think
of. I got
of,
that on video, too.
No. No, you don't.
I don't
I
believe
do.
You.
No, you don't. No. When my good friend that I went from grade school through high school decided to go to the Army and sign up for boot camp. You have to remember, we graduated high school in 2002. So September 11th, 2001 was my senior year of high school. I had several friends who signed up for the military, and it's not a crazy wild story, but the funny part about this is that there were three of us who were going to go out and acknowledge the night before he went to boot camp, send him on his way, and it was me and like my best friend growing up, Tim, and my friend Aaron, and the story is that we ended up at Hooters, and I've never been at Hooters before, but I'm like, this is my duty to my country to endure Hooters because he's going to boot camp. Well, I was talking to Aaron about this not terribly long ago, and he's like, I hated Hooters. That was Tim's idea. And I'm like, why was I at Hooters for that? But we ended up having a great long night, and I mean, we were getting ready to go to war at that point, so it was kind of a interesting bow on what was our childhood and be like, okay, you're going to boot camp now because there's a potential war brewing. That was pretty crazy. But that's not butt shaving, so what can I...
It seems like there's a lot of comments about this. Really split, too. Some people saying, who would do that? Joe saying, who would not do that?
Next question.
Friend?
Moving along. Brad?
Okay, well...
Did you ask a question yet, Ryan?
Yeah, it was about Megachomp.
And that was answering the question.
All right, this is kind of a rapid-fire thing here. So I'm going to say some topics, and I need you to say who the person at the office is you would go to for this item, if you needed one. All right, so toothbrush or mouthwash?
Who would I go to in the office
for
this?
If you needed it.
I have that stuff.
You have that stuff.
Annie.
The answer's no.
If you needed hairspray.
I have that stuff.
I don't. I don't ever need that.
Make something stickier.
Yeah.
What about a Band-Aid?
Trisha.
Yeah, probably Trisha.
Trisha should be a good one for that,
She might have the first aid kit.
What about ranch dressing?
Ryan.
I do have that.
That's all I got.
I've got mouthwash and hairspray, and you have ranch.
And hot sauce.
I've said this before, but that the gas station, the old Shell station that's on Tucker and whatever that, I don't know what street it is, it's past, it's north of Washington. But they decided they were going to tear it down. They're going to put something else there. Who knows what? But somebody graffitied up there, peace, love, and ranch. And I'm like, welcome to St. Louis, folks. The homeless encampment is just this way.
It sounds like an ad.
Peace, love, and ranch. I know. It kind of should be. They
Hidden
should get
Valley.
A picture of it before they tear the building down. Send your questions to us on the Andy Fry YouTube live chat. We'll hit some more on the other side of this break, including if Ethan's going to join us once again. Who would have been the biggest flirt among the four of us, Brad, Ethan, Ryan, or myself? And tell us in the comments why you voted the way you did. Some of these are pretty funny. We'll be right back with Morning Fry Show in a minute. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. We're glad you're here with us on a beautiful Friday afternoon. Mother's Day is this weekend. Are you guys doing Mother's Day things? That's my next question for you guys.
Mother's Day is interesting because I have to balance it between, this is probably everybody, my mom and my wife.
It's a real burden for you, I know.
And it's so hard on me that I don't really know. I guess I'll probably defer to whatever they want. But really what my wife wants is a day off.
Amen.
So I typically do something to get the kids out of the house,
is
let
your
her
house
do
clean?
Whatever. It's decent right now. Probably get it to clean.
Man. Clean the house. Don't buy me anything. Clean the house.
Wow.
That's the thing.
Yeah, and then Father's Day, I guess I end up getting the same thing in return, which is a day off.
But yeah.
I don't really care as much as she really likes that day.
I love Mother's Day.
She likes getting the day off.
It's probably her favorite thing that she is.
Yeah.
So it
well,
makes...
wife.
Yeah, well, yeah. Mom. You want me to ask her?
I don't want you to like, ever talk to her again.
Do you like being a mom or a wife more?
Don't.
The answer would probably always be depends on the day for every woman.
Nah.
Do you like being a mom or a wife more?
Good question.
I'm not a girl.
We hadn't publicly identified.
The gray beard argues against that.
We're doing a little next question here right now. We'll start with who would have been the best flirt, Brad, Ethan, Ryan, or Annie. Apparently, Ethan has some thoughts that we wanted to make sure we included here on the show today. Also, very last minute poll. Couldn't come up with anything else.
You know, when I look at these results.
What, do you have a monologue prepared?
You can't.
No, hold on. I'm not giving anything away.
Okay.
I'll say it's in slightly better condition for me than it was when I first looked.
How many accounts? I mean, we are very close to 12,000. I would appreciate the contribution to get us there with your fake accounts. We only need 78 people to get 12,000.
Are you asking me to make 78 fake YouTube accounts? Is that what's being asked right now?
I don't really care. It's like 2020 election. Just do whatever you got to do.
Okay. Stop the count. Stop the count.
You don't have till 3 a.m. It's
just
3
cover
PM.
The glass, break a water pipe, and get it done.
I will tease this. Right now, we're at 144 votes.
Mm-hmm.
So let's see if we can get those numbers up a little bit. And right now, it's a battle.
There are two
for
races
last.
Happening right now.
Correct.
There are two of us that are in competition for first, and two of us that are. Don't look. Don't look.
Hey, the heck you think you're doing over there?
Eyes on your paper.
Yeah, keep your eyes over there.
So,
off
Ethan,
of me.
You think that you are the number one flirter? In
Listen,
the room?
I think that I deserve at least a shot at second.
Are you in last?
No.
It's a battle for it. It's mighty tight over here. Listen, I think that people look at Ryan and they see just blind courage / stupidity, and they just and they confuse that with flirting.
Oh.
Oh gosh.
That's not wrong. I'd fight you, but that's real close.
That's an accurate perception.
And Brad, I mean, everything that Brad has shared with us makes me wonder why the people would think he has game.
Brad?
I would agree with that, too.
I don't know why the people would think I have game either.
So I'm wondering...
Like I saw this poll, and I was like, why wouldn't you pick Ethan?
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, it's really nice of
like,
you.
If you look at, like...
Ethan's like, I don't have anything
I don't
else
know
to
what
say.
To
I mean,
say.
He's got great charisma, great hair, he's funny, he's relaxed. You never feel like Ethan is uptight or whatever. So, like, I feel like Ethan could just walk in, say hi to a girl, and get her number,
Ryan's
and,
just
like, the girl wouldn't even know.
But I wear joggers. And that is
yeah, you do look like
my
a slob,
one
yeah, according to Brad.
Downfall.
That's
but
easy
you know
to
what?
Change,
girls
though.
Like that because
Ethan,
girls like the guy that just
Ethan,
doesn't care. You
the
know,
numbers don't lie, though.
Huh?
Maybe the joggers are holding you back.
They can't see my joggers. They can't, on the camera, they can't hear my joggers.
I kind of wonder if I understand why Brad keeps bringing them up.
I know.
Keeps Brad?
He gives you a lot of compliments,
to share?
Too.
This guy could... It's the only thing holding him back.
Is Brad playing the, I don't have any game? Is that his game?
I don't have game.
Think about this for a second.
He's trying to be modest, you think?
Is he trying to be, is the attention getting, is it just the exact opposite of Ryan?
Yeah, I can answer that. The answer is no. He just doesn't have the game.
It depends.
Somebody like you would say that.
And he genuinely finds Ethan attractive.
No, he doesn't.
All
he
that he said is very
on
true.
His clothes and everything.
Well, he just wants him to dress nicer.
Who's the best flirt? Who would have been the best flirt pre-marriage? We're all married to other people.
I'm really caught between two people, and it's a surprise too.
Uh-huh.
It's you, because
why is that a surprise?
Because I don't know. I never pick you to win anything.
Okay,
I'm
kind just of like a, default makes you
yeah,
mad inside.
That's against you. You because you're a girl, and
what?
I think girls just. No, that's not even true. Not all girls would be good at flirting. I think that you'd be good at flirting, though.
I do, too.
Because I could see you really turning the charm on if you wanted to impress a guy.
You think I'm charming?
Agree. I could see you turning
you think
it
I'm,
on.
You think I'm fake charming?
I think you're fake charming.
My reasoning is because I've seen you monologue. And you're very good at being on your toes, right? Just kind of having to go with the flow. And I think that is a very important quality and aspect of flirting is going with the flow of the conversation, mm-hmm. and that's why I think that you would be a pretty good flirt.
Better than Ryan?
I think you probably have more effect because you're prettier.
Couldn't have said it better. Yeah, look, we who are
that'll
good
be
at
next
this,
Friday's poll if I'm late again. Who's the prettiest?
Who's prettier?
If I'm not winning at 2:00, I'm not coming back.
If you're going to have game, you also have to know what your limitations are.
I do just want to add, though, that since we started talking about this, Ryan's numbers have gone up and Annie's have gone down.
No!
So I don't know if that has... But mine have also gone up and Brad's have gone down. So I don't know if there's correlation or not, but I just wanted to
what is
share
the key,
some
what is the key
analytics
to successful flirting? Who's got a thought?
I think the very first thing would be confidence, wouldn't it?
Brad, you're the one who said you have no game.
I don't have game.
He doesn't have that. He's telling you. He has no confidence.
He knows what he doesn't have, and you can't go get it?
Correct.
I think I know what I have and what I don't have. I do have
that
confidence.
That sounds like confidence.
But I'm
confused.
But I don't have game. So
because it's not just confidence. You have
right,
to have a certain
to
amount of charisma, but too much of that becomes a turnoff, mm-hmm. I think. To where it's like, now it's like, oh, now you're just full of yourself.
And Ryan, go ahead and read this comment here from Joe.
I don't care if it's coming from a guy. I could see Annie doing that helpless girl flirt thing. Oh, it's about you. Okay. To get someone to do manual labor. You're so big and strong. Thanks for lifting that.
Could you
smart?
Could you say that in like the sailor boy
no!
voice?
Yes,
sailor
please
boy.
Do.
Can you lift this heavy thing for me?
That's what she does during her monologues, like you said. She's flipping her hair.
She's
looking
touches,
at the side.
Then she touches your arm.
Sideways look.
So strong. Ooh. I've never said that to Ryan.
Sailor boy.
I have seen her do that to get you to do something.
Though. Yeah.
What?
It's not common, but she will do it.
Do what?
The helpless girl thing.
Like, yes.
I can't get this bottle of wine open.
I tell that story all the time. It's one of my finest moments.
No, you do it here. I can't remember specifics, but there are times that you're like, oh, like the other day. Right, Ryan, I can't reach this plug. Can you get it?
Oh, yeah.
And you totally could reach it.
No, I couldn't reach it.
You just wanted me to do it.
No, I couldn't reach it.
I'm the one that did it.
And she was testing to see if I was tall enough.
Stop. That wasn't flirting. That wasn't because I needed something. I had said to Ethan, hey, Ethan, can you reach this? I need something plugged.
Yeah, because we have an outlet on the ceiling.
In the studio, the outlets are on the ceiling. So Ethan is taller than all of us, especially Ryan. So I asked Ethan to plug it into the ceiling for me, but Ryan didn't see that. And Ryan goes, how'd you get that plugged in there? I go, oh, I just did it myself. You can do it too. I didn't think he could.
And
he could, but he had like balance it on the top of his fingers and push it up.
It wasn't that bad.
But he didn't know that you really did it.
He pulled the milk crate over.
I
did not.
I also said that some lady at the store asked me to do that. She's like, hey. I'm like, oh. She's like, could you grab that Dr. Pepper off the top of the shelf? And then
did she say, yoo-hoo?
No, she didn't. But then
wouldn't
said,
she have moved a little faster if she
right.
would have?
But then I asked Ryan, I said, do you have to do that at the store for the top shelf?
I do.
Do you ever, do people flirt with you in modern times? Like,
I have no idea. I still don't know. There are
times
when
women are impossible to read. I have no idea.
I think that woman might have been flirting with me. I remember one within the last 5 years that I said, I think that lady was flirting with me. And the guy next to me goes, that lady is married and was not flirting with you at all.
If your wife, Ryan, saw a woman kind of flirt with you a little bit, maybe a waitress at a table or something like that, how would she react?
Negatively.
She wouldn't like it.
But she never...
Get a little possessive?
That never happens. Hmm. So really know.
Do you want us to set something up?
Yeah. I wouldn't mind.
Need the confidence.
Well, if it's a setup, it's not real. You think she'd get defensive of you?
She would get defensive.
Would she tell him to knock it off?
I don't know. I don't think she would. I think she would tell me to tell them to knock it off.
That's the worst.
I know. I'm gonna say,
excuse me, miss. I need you to stop hitting on me.
Yeah. Ma'am, you can see that I'm married here.
Yeah.
You need to stop doing what you're doing.
Ethan, you're younger and you are... When's your anniversary?
June 1st will be 1 year.
Coming up here shortly. So you're young. It would be more likely that you would be available than the rest of us in here.
Mm-hmm.
How would your wife react to being there and seeing somebody flirting with you?
My wife is not a confrontational person.
Mm-hmm.
One, I wonder if she would even notice if someone was flirting with me. Because she's has tendencies to be a little oblivious to those kinds of things. But if she did notice, I have to imagine that she would probably just kind of stand there awkwardly smiling, uh-huh. like seeing it happening.
Did
knowing,
she flirt
like,
with
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I got him locked up. Huh?
Did she flirt with you?
I mean, yes.
Is that part of her game?
Yes.
Did she say things like,
no, they just signed a contract.
Ethan, can you empty the spittoon and get my chewy tobacco?
Wait.
Brad, if somebody was flirting with you, how would your wife react?
My wife would probably think it was funny. I think that she feels like, and she's right, she's got me on lock, so she's not really worried about me going anywhere. And she would think it would be kind of funny watching me like miss the signals or whatever would happen. But I do know that when we were, before we were dating and we were in that I like him, she likes me stage, I kind of told the story the other day on air. She got jealous whenever I was running interference for my best friend at his wedding with his ex-girlfriend. And so I think that there was a point there, but I think that was only because we hadn't started dating and she was interested.
Flip the script. You're out and there's a man and he is hitting on your wife in front of you, but maybe it's in like a service industry or something like that. So you're in this interaction, you're at the same place, but he's playing a little game with your wife, to your wife. Maybe your wife's not necessarily picking up on it or participating. How do you feel about that, Ryan?
The first thing I would do is ask my wife if that was happening.
You're like,
because
I see this.
Know.
I need to verify this.
Because she would probably be able to pick it up quicker, and then she would be able to tell me, yeah, he might be. Or
and then what?
If he is, then I think I wouldn't do something dramatic. I'd probably take a plate and just like throw it at his
break it on
junk.
The table.
with food on it?
Get out of here.
Good thing it's not dramatic.
I keep the food. I'd get one of those appetizer plates.
Would you say something? Would you intervene?
No, I'd just do action. Action hero stuff.
Okay. Ethan? Just can't take you seriously.
I think that I would, for my own entertainment, let it play out to a certain extent. And then if it got to the point where it was like, okay, this has gone
far
enough.
Now we've crossed the line.
Now we've, hi, buddy, kind of get to that situation. But the funny thing is that, like, my wife doesn't necessarily understand when someone is flirting with her either. So I'll have people tell me, like, or Hannah will tell me, apparently this guy was flirting with me at this wedding or at this, you know, get together or whatever, but like her mom or her friend told her that it was happening, and that's how I get told about it. So I kind of take it as a compliment because I know that she's locked up.
For sure.
But
Brad?
Yeah.
Like Hillary Clinton.
I think my reaction to it would be one of two things, and this just depends on the setup. Am I like next to her while this is going on, or am I observing this from a distance? Watching it go on, like close enough, but maybe that the guy doesn't notice me. Because if I'm right there and he's flirting with my wife right in front of me, them's fighting words.
I do agree with that.
But if I'm watching it happen, then I'm like with Ethan, it's kind of amusing and see where it goes. And then I think the way that I intervene whenever it goes too far is I walk up, kiss, give her a kiss on the cheek, say, "Hey, babe, what's going on? Who's this?" And then, you know,
it's like a dog.
I imagine
exactly.
Being way more like Ben Stiller, Zoolander, like, "Hey, babe, what's going on? Who's this guy?"
My husband does not take well to people who are like filthy mean to me on social media. He does not care if people are flirting with me.
Really?
He's amused. it's much more. Are we? Yeah, he's.
He's gonna allow it in person, but not online.
I mean, obviously, if somebody were getting handsy or something, that's crossing a line. But if there's somebody who is, he would be amused about it because he would know I would be uncomfortable, and he enjoys that.
Hey,
I don't know why.
I just gotta say it real quick before we go to break. I saw a picture the other day of him on Facebook back in the day. Boy, that man had some luscious locks.
He had
some great hair.
He did. He's got like yours.
I almost did a double take at it.
I'll have to share a picture in the 2 o'clock hour. We celebrated, I kind of mentioned this on the air, 2 days ago. We have been together, our dating anniversary, it was May 7th.
Ooh.
And so we have been together for 21 years, married since 2004. And he did have the flow before everybody else had the flow. And the trucker hat thing, that game was strong.
Mm. Come on.
Everybody keeps telling him to grow it back. I don't know that 40-whatever-year-old flow looks the same as 20-whatever-year flow, but I dig it. I think he's cute. We'll be right back.